First Chronicles chapter 28 this morning. And this particular passage, of course, is David's instructions for the temple, his plans for the temple, and then David's charge to Solomon. For our purposes this morning, we're going to be found in that first portion of the book, David's instructions for the temple. The second portion, Solomon to succeed David. And we're going to look there at verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. And the Bible says this, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts, if thou seek him. He will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we have a charge given to Solomon by David. And really, the charge given to Solomon by David are really just principles that have guided David's life. Of course, we know David, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Even after his sin, even after his fall with Bathsheba, he was still considered a man after God's own heart. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to preach us on this thought and this idea: when principle was king. When principle was king. Principle is simply defined as why I do what I do. Why I will, why I don't, and why I won't. Principle is simply guideposts for life. Sound and good advice. Convictions, as it were. Things that no matter what happens, that you are not going to let them be broken. You're going to stand by them no matter what. That's what principle is. And unfortunately today we live in a society where principle has kind of gone by the wayside. Where convictions have kind of gone by the wayside, where sound and good advice have it's just kind of gone by the wayside. Those guideposts that we've had throughout life, they've just kind of gone by the wayside, and now we just kind of go along and get along. We just kind of go from point A to point B with no guide to life. And so that's what principle is this morning. The opposite of that is compromise, change. No guide for life, no convictions. When there's no principle at all, it becomes all about self. It becomes all about I. It becomes all about you, and it becomes all about me. Now, the book of First Chronicles, the whole point and the whole premise of the book of First Chronicles was to teach a unity among God's people. That's what God wanted. He wanted a unity among God's people. He wanted genuine worship to be at the center of a person's life. And the same is true even today. God, when we come to church, he wants us to come with a genuine worship of him. If we would take the time, we could go to the New Testament and look, and God would rebuke certain religious groups because they would worship him with their lips, but he would tell them that their heart was far from him. And so when we come in the church, he wants us to come with genuine worship to be at the center of our life. The Bible even tells us we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. So we come to chapter 28 this morning. And up to this point, chapters 26 and 27 It presents for us the transition from David to Solomon as king of the nation of Israel. It's here in this chapter, chapter 28, we find that David gives his son Solomon some very important principles to help guide him through life. These are ideas we should want present in our life. These are principles we should want present, both young and old. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you can have these principles in your life. And the sad truth of the matter is that Solomon is to succeed David here. And David is giving Solomon these principles. And if we know anything about Solomon, Solomon, when he first started out serving God, he started out on fire serving God. I mean, you talk about somebody that had a zeal to serve the Lord. That was Solomon. If you talk about somebody that if God told him to do something, he would do it. That was Solomon. That was at the beginning of his life. But then as he got older and he got towards the end of his life, he would end his life backslidden and not the same person. He would very well forget the principles that were taught to him by David. But this morning, I want us to see these principles, if we could. Number one, the very first principle that we see David give to Solomon is get to know God personally. Get to know God personally. Notice there again, if you would, verse number 9. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." Know thou the God of thy father. One of the very first principles that David taught Solomon, if he was ever going to do anything for God, was he needed to get to know God personally. And one of the things you and I need to do, if we're ever going to do something for God, if we're ever going to know God, is to know God personally. Look over, if you would, first or Second Chronicles, chapter 15. Second Chronicles, chapter 15. And notice there, if you would, verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." What an encouragement that is this morning. If you'll seek him, he will be found. You know, so many people today, they seek after God thinking, well, he'll never be found. And the truth of the matter is, he's right here in plain sight, clear as day, waiting to be found. Proverbs 22, verse 6, don't turn there, but the Bible says, train up a child in the way they ought to go, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. For those of you this morning that are parents, grandparents, those hoping to be parents, one of the greatest things you can do for your kids is to teach them early to get to know God. Get to know God personally. The Bible there in 1 Chronicles 28, we read it there, verse number 9. Know thou the God of thy father. In other words, know the God of thy youth. Teach them while they're young to know God. You know, getting good grades, that's a good thing. That's important. But knowing God, that's the most important. You know, getting a good job, getting a good career, that's good. But knowing God is best. You know, friends, hobbies, activities. Listen, I know some families and some kids, they are run ragged during the school year. They go to school, then they go to this extracurricular activity, to this extracurricular activity. I mean, by the time they get home, it's 8, 9 o'clock at night. They have to have dinner. They have to have homework. And you know what? That's all well and good, but what's the one thing that gets squeezed out? Church. The spiritual. Friends, hobbies, activities, all those things are good, but they ought not to be at the expense of church, of the Bible, of prayer time, the things of God. I read here recently that 85% of those who trust Christ, they do so between the ages of 4 and 15. Between the ages of 4 and 15, we have to reach them while they're young, before they get too busy for the things of God. You know, there was a time in our country that there were 2 days that were kind of off limits when it came to activities and church activities and things like that. Number one was Sunday, obviously. Everybody knew Sunday, you were in church. And it didn't matter the name over the door of the church, Baptist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Lutheran, whatever the case was, people knew Sunday was church day. And then they knew Wednesday night was the prayer meeting, was the Bible study. Well, then slowly, somewhere along the way, activity started to be added on Wednesdays. And all of a sudden, people had a choice to make. Okay, the activities or church. And well, unfortunately, a lot of people chose the activities. And now we're seeing it starting to creep into Sundays. And now they're choosing, okay, well, what are we going to do? The activities or church? You think about this morning. If in any given year, and by the way, it's not all on the church to lead and guide young people. Ultimately, it falls to the parents. Because you think about the time differential. The church has young people for an average of 40 hours per year. 40 hours per year if they come to every service. The school has them for about 1,300 hours. And then parents have them for about 3,000 hours. And so the responsibility to, as Proverbs says, train up a child is given to the parents. So often we push our kids to do things that in the grand scheme of things won't matter. Saw another stat here. It said less than 1% will become a professional athlete. But you know what 100% of them will do? 100% of them will stand before Jesus. 100% of them will stand before God. So the very first thing, the very first principle, we need to get to know God. We need to get to know God personally. You see, the best thing you can do this morning for your child or your grandchild is that they know your God. Why? Because they don't need to trust a God that is some fairy tale or some make-believe creature that's far away or whatever the case may be. But you knew God was real. You know God is real. And you need to impart that into your children. You need to impart that into your grandchildren. Because one day, you're going to send those children out into this cold, dark, sinful world. And they are going to need the things of God to get them through. Not just the things of this world, but the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil throw at them. You think about it tonight, or this morning, I should say. family altars. Have a time that you spend where you read your Bible as a family, where you pray as a family. And when you have your family devotions, you have your Bible, you have your, you know, the devotions we hand out, you know, put the phone away. Because I guarantee you, you sit down and do your devotions, and no second, the minute you start to do your devotions, ring, ring. Someone's going to call. Someone's going to text. Why? Because Satan does not want you to be in your Bible that day. Satan does not want you to have that prayer time with the Lord that day. Don't let anybody or anything allow you to miss those devotions, miss that prayer time. Church itself, don't let anything allow you to miss church. Get involved. Get your kids involved early. Every now and again on Saturdays, I'll send out a text message. You know, Saturday or Sunday morning church is a Saturday night decision. You know, set out your clothes Saturday night. Have everything ready to go. So that way when you're coming in on Sunday morning, yes, you might be, you know, at each other's throat. You know, and we've all been there. You know, we get in the car, we're running late. You know, we're, you know, having intense moments of fellowship with one another. And, you know, wanting to kill each other before church. And then we pull up to church, we turn the car off, and then we turn the smile on. And we come in and people ask how you're doing. Oh, we're doing great today. Everything's going great. Liars. You were just killing each other in the car. And now everything's great as you come in. We've all been there. Listen, I am tired as all get out this morning. I'm exhausted. You say, why? We were up till 2 in the morning. We had a bat in the house last night. Second night in a row. I had just gotten off treatment. I was there getting ready for bed. And all of a sudden, the bat flies into the bathroom and then back out. And I'm like, oh, my soul. And so Mandy, because I'm still having my arm, so we have to make sure it doesn't bleed after treatment. So she grabs the broom and she goes downstairs chasing the bat. And the bat's on the wall, and she just smacks the bat. It falls, lands on the radiator, but then it flies at her face. And so to this day, we don't know if we got the bat out or not. We don't know how the bat got in. And it's making me reexamine my life choices of liking Batman at this point. But I like Batman, but I don't want a bat cave in my house. And at least not with the real things. And so that's what I'm saying, though, this morning. We all have life that gets in the way. But don't let it deter you from being in church. Don't let it keep you from being. You say, well, Pastor, I have a headache. Take a pill and come to church. You say, I have a hangnail. Get a nail clipper and come to church. You say, here's the litmus test for whether you should miss church. If it won't keep you from work on Monday morning, it ought not to keep you from church on Sunday morning. You know, we call it Sundayitis. You know, sick on Sunday, but then when work comes around on Monday, we're all of a sudden better. And so don't let it keep you from church. Get involved early with church. Never hold them back from church. You know, there in Philly, we had some parents, they would actually keep their kids home from church as a punishment. Never do that. Never keep your child home from church as a punishment. But number one this morning, get to know God personally. You know, the best way you can get to know God personally this morning is if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You can know Jesus as your Savior this morning. You can accept him into your heart this morning. Have your sins forgiven. Be taken from darkness to light. Death to life. Have that change made in your life. Number two this morning, learn God's commands and discover what he would have you to do. Learn God's commands and discover what he would have you to do. There again, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, the Bible says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." Look at what it says. "And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." That word "perfect" there means whole. Serve him with your whole heart. You know, we have too many people today, they do things half-heartedly. They do things without giving it their all. Listen, when it comes to serving God, there should be no half-heartedness in the work of God. There should be no half-heartedness and, do it just to have it done. No, we should give our whole heart, our perfect whole heart. Look, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. And notice there, if you would, verse number 61. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. The Bible says, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord, our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." And then look, if you would, Gospel of John, chapter 14. And notice there, if you would, verse number 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. The Bible says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You say, how do we know the perfect will of God for our lives? Simple. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. You see, folks, this morning, God will never call you to do something that is unreasonable. He'll never ask you to do something that you look at and say, yeah, that's just not reasonable. No, it's your reasonable service. But you know what the problem, and you notice the verse there says, present your body as a living sacrifice. You know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? We want to wiggle. We want to squirm. We want to move. Just as that knife is coming down to kill self, we want to scoot out of the way so that it doesn't kill self. But God wants us to be a living sacrifice for him. And then look, if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. verses 23 and 24. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You see, that's who we do it for anyway. Our service is for God. Our service is for the Lord. Our service is not for necessarily one another. Our service is not for man. Our service is for the Lord. Verse 24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." That's who we serve this morning. We serve Jesus. We serve God. And so we need to learn what he would have us to do, discover what he would have us to do, and then just do it. Do what it is he'd call us to do. So number one this morning, know God personally. Number two, learn God's commands. Discover what he would have you to do. Then number three, worship God with your whole heart. Worship God with your whole heart. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And notice there again verse number 9. The Bible says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts." For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. You know, when we come to church and we come to serve the Lord, we come with no less than one garbage full of baggage. The week has happened, life has happened, work has happened, school has happened. Just by the time we meet next Sunday from this Sunday, I guarantee you things will happen in your life this week that when you come in the church next week, you're going to be, you know, sometimes you'll get asked, "How are you doing this morning?" "Well, we're here." You ever feel like that? "Well, we're here." Well, that's us sometimes. We're here. But you know, when you come to church and come to worship God, come to do it with wholehearted devotion. You know what that means? Leave everything that happened the previous week, leave it at the door. Come in, worship the Lord, enjoy the fellowship, enjoy visiting with one another, enjoy talking with one another, enjoy just being in the presence of God. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst." Look, if you would, Jeremiah chapter 29 this morning. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, and notice there if you would. Verse number 13. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, the Bible says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me," notice what it says, "with all your heart." There it is again, the principle of not doing things half-heartedly. Not just searching for God. You know, "Well, I searched for him, he wasn't found, so I'm going to stop searching for him." No. With all your heart, worship him with wholehearted devotion. When it comes time to sing, sing out. When it comes time to pray, pray without ceasing. When it comes time to study and hear the word of God, be ready to receive what God has for us. Number four this morning, serve God with a willing mind. Serve God with a willing mind. 1 Chronicles 28 again, in verse 9, the Bible says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. We often talk about how God, he's the perfect gentleman. God will not force you to do something you do not want to do. People sometimes say, well, if God wants everybody to be saved, why doesn't he just save everybody then? Well, then that would take away free will. That would take away the choice. That would take away, because listen, if you have to force somebody to love you, then that's not love. And if God had to force us to love him, that wouldn't be love. He wants us to love him because we just love him because he loved us. And we need to serve him with a willing mind. Now, you know, if someone has to twist your arm to serve God, that's not a willing mind. That's not being willing. We need to serve him willingly. Number five, be faithful. Be faithful. 1 Chronicles 28 again, and we get to verse number 10. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 10, the Bible says, take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. You know, the Lord has called us all to do things for him. He never said they were going to be easy. But he's called us to do it. And we ought to do just as he said. Be strong, be faithful, and do it. Look, if you would, 1 Chronicles 22, a couple chapters back. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And notice there, if you would, verse number 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse number 13. The Bible says, then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. You see, this morning when the Lord is on our side, we have no reason to dread and be dismayed. We can be strong and of good courage. We can be faithful to accomplish that which he would have us to do. And then number six and finally this morning, don't become discouraged. Don't become discouraged. Verse number 10 again, be strong and do it. You know, the work of the Lord, it's an important work, it's a busy work, but it can also be a discouraging work. Don't become discouraged. I'll look, if you will, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 in your New Testament there. Galatians chapter 6. And verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be ye not weary in well doing. The work of God is well-doing work. Be not weary. The teachings this morning of the Bible are the keys to security. They're the keys to happiness. They're the keys to whatever you can think of. But you will never discover them unless you search God's Word. You see, this morning, if we ignore God's word, his will, neglect his teaching. Anything we attempt to build, even if it has God's name on it, is headed for collapse. Yet to know God's commands through regular Bible study, find ways to apply them consistently. You see, this morning God demands complete devotion. And if we will give him that, we have his promise. He will give us more wisdom and guidance than we could ever imagine. The question for each of us here this morning is this: how are our principles, and when they come to God, are they still king in our life? Are we following the principles of the Word of God, or somewhere along the way, have we allowed the world to kind of dictate our principles? It needs to be God and God alone and his word alone that dictates our principles. Principle in the Christian's life still needs to be king. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.